ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
As we like to tell people when we're presenting the Bhagavad Gita, that Bhagavad Gita means the song of God. Can you imagine what would happen when you hear that song? And what's to prevent us from hearing it right now? So what I was thinking of starting with was a recitation together of the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. No harm in that, right? No harm, all good. So let's try it. Let's try it. Krishna recommends it. The Acharyas read these books. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya, they all study the Bhagavad Gita and comment on it. So if we do the same thing, what we're doing is following in the footsteps of the Acharyas, of these great teachers. And if one does that, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, even though one may not be an Acharya, one is eligible for the same results. That's a nice prospect, isn't it? So we have the books, and now we also, on our Jumbotron, on both sides of the room, so you can be facing in any direction you like, we'll be able to see the fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. And what we'll do is we'll go through the English together and recite it. There it is. Chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. This sounds very practical, doesn't it? Okay. Let's make our objective to stay at the same pace all the way through. And we can do that best by... We're going to do the English. We can do that best by observing the punctuation marks. Hyperlinks, verse, text, there it is. Very good. Are you all ready?
Yes.
I'm getting ready. Arjuna said, "O Krishna, first of all, you asked me to renounce work. And then again, you recommend work with devotion. Now will you kindly tell me, definitely, which of the two is more beneficial?" The Personality of Godhead replied, "The renunciation of work and work in devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. One who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his activities is known to be always renounced. Such a person, free from all dualities, easily overcomes material bondage and is completely liberated, O mighty-armed Arjuna. Only the ignorant speak of devotional service, karma yoga, as being different from the analytical study of the material world, sankhya. Those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the results of both. One who knows that the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level, sees things as they are. Mere renouncing all activities, yet not engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, cannot make one happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve the Supreme without delay. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and it controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Although working, such a man is never entangled. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action, as a lotus leaf is untouched by water. The yogis, abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification. The steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers the result of all activities to me. Whereas a person who is not in union with the divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled. When the embodied living being controls his nature and mentally renounces all actions, he resides happily in the city of nine gates, the material body, neither working nor causing work to be done. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. When one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on path of liberation. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater outcast. Those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and thus they are already situated in Brahman. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the signs of God, is already situated in transcendence. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. Shutting out all external sense objects, keeping the eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows, suspending the inward and outward breaths within the nostrils, and thus controlling the mind, senses, and intelligence, the transcendentalist aiming at liberation becomes free from desire, fear, and anger. One who is always in this state is certainly liberated. a person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material existence. Congratulations. This is one of the most important days of your life, to have recited a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And if one takes the time each day to do this through the weeks, the months, and the years, then one will have an increasingly enriching life, which will culminate in a direct relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or rather one's realization that one has a direct relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it will be manifested most prominently and very quickly by the association of the Bhagavad Gita. Also, it's a highly recommended process to share the Bhagavad Gita with others. If one can read it for oneself and then take up the practice of teaching it to others in one's home or in other people's homes, then Krishna gives one special consideration. As he mentions in the Gita itself, there's no one in this world more dear to him than those who teach the Bhagavad Gita to others. It doesn't take much. One can get a Bhagavad Gita and read it regularly, and then by Krishna's direction from within the heart and from the instruction of those who have studied it and realized it, one can also come to an understanding of the Bhagavad Gita for oneself and then pass those realizations on to other people. And this makes it for a completely balanced life, fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, these two activities, hearing Bhagavad Gita and teaching Bhagavad Gita to others in many different forms. Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Hey! Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.